Hello and welcome to the Day Zero update for April 5th, 2015. I'm Filippo D'Onofrio.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
And Easter seems to have claimed the rest of the cast for this week. So hopefully some of them will be back next week. Beyond that, we're here holding out in the fort.
Yep. Want to put out a little reminder to start the show. We always welcome listener feedback and questions. If you've got some feedback on the show, or if there's a news item that we talk about and you want us to explain more about why we think the way we do about this or that, feel free to pass the questions along. We'll be glad to answer them on the air.
Yep. Yeah, you can reach us through the comments or through Twitter. I'm F. D'Onofrio on Twitter. He's SP_Patrick on Twitter. You can also leave feedback on the Facebook post, which usually accompanies the show. So there's plenty of ways to get a hold of us. If you guys really want, we'll set up an email address so you can just send feedback to that. So we'll get something done for you guys.
Yep.
So what have you been playing, Pat?
Ridge Racers 2 is kind of a given for me. Still got to upload some videos. I've been kind of putting that off just because I've been busy with so many other things. MLB The Show this year, finally got started on that. That's actually going to be the background video for this week on the video version of the podcast. The magic bug has bit me again, and so I'm back playing Magic the Gathering, not in a video game form necessarily. That would probably be a lot cheaper, but just the good old-fashioned collectible cards.
Yeah. Is there much of a scene in your neck of the woods?
Quite a bit, actually. There are a few card shops that do, well, that see regular play as well as your Friday night Magic events. And then the store that I work at, actually, we get sometimes upwards of 10 people playing on lunch breaks. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. So that's plenty of opportunities for trades and all the fun stuff that goes along with it.
And the fact that we actually sell cards as well, that has been a bit of an enabler, if you will.
Yeah.
How about you? What have you been playing?
Well, Defense Grid 2, that's kind of a given as well. You know, I've been enjoying that game since it came out, and probably will continue to for months to come. Been heavily into Axiom Verge, because that game is just amazing.
It is.
Going through my second playthrough right now, and really still enjoying it just as much as the first one. So, yeah. You played a bit of it for the footage for last week. What did you think about it?
I loved it. I mean, to some people it might be blasphemy, but I said this is Metroid when I was playing it. So, I mean, it really is. Nintendo doesn't need to bother with any more 2D Metroid. This guy has it.
That's what I kind of said a couple of weeks ago before the embargo broke. It's quite a good game, and I noticed you got lost several times.
It's a whole first time through a Metroidvania game.
Yeah.
Tried to remember what I was up to and where I was supposed to be, and it's just one of those things that comes with exploration heavy games, and but it's such a joy to play that it doesn't even really bother you.
Yeah. You did manage to glitch the second boss, but the first time you went through it. So.
Yeah.
That
I wouldn't really call it a glitch, more of just an oversight, but it was really old school.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff like that in there that's intentional.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing that you seemed to have trouble with was you forgot about L1.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hold that down and you don't move.
Yeah, I didn't actually
know about that. Yeah, it's a great game, and I'm quite pleased that it's getting the positive reviews that it really deserves.
Yeah, it deserves it. I almost wonder if we're going to be hearing it months down the road when it comes to Game of the Year time. It's obviously really early to be talking about that, but I think that's one that we should keep in mind.
Yeah, I've already added it to my list, but I'm, you know, making as the year goes by, so yeah, it's easier if we start doing it now that way.
That's a good point.
Yeah. It's easier.
I could probably put a good chunk of mine together, and barring any nasty surprises, I wouldn't be surprised if it held up throughout the year.
Yeah. Got you know, it's like supposed to be the doldrums right now, but we've got both MK10 and Project Cars coming in the next couple of months.
Yep.
So at least we're gonna have some stuff to play over the springtime break.
And then we're probably just gonna get monstered when E3 gets here.
Oh, no doubt.
I think we're going to see record numbers of games being released to coincide with the event.
Yeah. Yeah, Sony has usually done that a lot.
Yeah.
Much to the chagrin of everybody attending E3. But everybody else, golden for them.
Yeah. But it's fine to release games to coincide with E3. As long as you don't release systems, you're okay.
Yeah.
Sega.
Yeah, that happened once. That went well.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Yeah. So, obviously, we had April Fool's Day this week, and so we definitely had to kind of scrutinize every news item that came across our proverbial desk. I'm at the point now where I'm starting to think that it might as well be a shutdown holiday in the gaming media, but to be completely honest, this year wasn't nearly as annoying as some past years have been.
Yeah.
So that was good to see.
Yeah, you had to still like the mainstays like Google, who did some clever things.
Yeah,
but yeah, I didn't see much pranking going on in the gaming media. So
yeah, there was a little bit there. The fact that Nintendo actually held a Nintendo Direct, and we'll be talking about that later, did carry with it the problem that it sort of issued a blank check for people to prank anyone who didn't watch the Nintendo Direct. And so there was stuff going around, a new Animal Crossing that, Teresa actually got pranked on that one, and she was not at all pleased about. And then there was another one going around that was, Pokemon, Temporal Diamond and Spatial Pearl. Which I have no doubt is going to come sooner or later.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they've got at least one or two more games to release first.
Yeah.
Before they get to that.
Yeah. But I'm glad we weren't, you know, inundated with, you know, just tasteless pranks. So.
It didn't make me wish that the internet would cease to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're past that point now.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So, kicking off with some really good news, Exceed Games has released their first localization blog for E6, The Ark of Nepishtim, for the PC. It's kind of surprising. This is a game that was already localized, thanks to Konami, when they released it on the PS2 and PSP. It sounds from what they're saying on the blog that said localization would have been up for grabs if they wanted it, but instead they're taking the opportunity to just go in and retranslate it from scratch, which is definitely the Exceed way, make no mistake. But it also it has some fascinating implications. If they can acquire PC versions of games that have already been brought over and retranslate them, because there are three PSP games that have been brought over by Namco Bandai from Falcom and could absolutely use a PC release with an Exceed translation. of course, those being the Gagarv trilogy games from the Legend of Heroes series, three games immediately preceding Trails in the Sky. I'm kind of hopeful that that's in the cards sometime down the road. Those games aren't nearly as text-heavy as Trails in the Sky and its sequels. Right now, it kind of does represent a gaping hole in the franchise that we don't have in a proper form yet. And so maybe once E6 is out, this is something that they can kind of throw together on the side. I would love to see that.
Yeah. And what it basically says is that, you know, regardless of whether a localization already exists, XD's just going to do it their way.
Yep.
You know, it probably would have been more work to go through Konami's localization and fix it than it would have been just to retranslate it.
And to be fair, Konami's localization wasn't even that bad. This is not the Namco Bandai Legend of Heroes stuff by any stretch. Yeah. But I can see why Exceed would want to go in and sort of get everything consistent with the scripts and terminology used in their localizations of the series, especially since they are at this point pretty much Falcom's official English localization crew.
Yeah. Well, it's good to see.
Yeah. And then another nice thing that we found out is that they're including something called Catastrophe Mode, which if you play some of the other EZ remakes or EZ Origin for that matter, you can't stockpile curative items. You can only use them on the spot where you find them. And so that kind of forces the issue of playing boss fights properly rather than just going kind of Rochambeau and I can outlast them.
Yeah.
That was a thing with E6 in its original release that made it a lot easier than it might have been. And so Catastrophe Mode is going to implement that same kind of mechanic in E6 and crank up the difficulty a bit for people who were complaining about the PS2 and PSP games being too easy. And just generally make it a lot more ease-like.
Yeah. Just another, you know, example of Exceed wanting to do things properly.
It's true. I'm really looking forward to this one. I just, I don't know. I'm hoping we get it before Trails SC.
Yeah, somehow I doubt it, especially at this late stage in the game for the Trails' translation. So. Yeah.
It'd just be a nice palate cleanser.
Yeah.
Before you dive into something that's going to take, you know, several plays through.
So we have a date and a new trailer for Halo 5 Guardians.
Yeah, this game looks more and more interesting every time we see it. And we already know from Halo 4 that, at the very least, 343 knows how to start a new story arc properly.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm going to be there on October 27th when the game finally launches because I'm really curious to see where they take this.
Yeah. I mean, the Xbox One needs a good, you know, Halo game.
A good Halo game.
Well, we have Master Chief Collection. So. But, you know, that's all for the original Halos. So.
Yeah. And. ODST. And they didn't come across so well either.
Well, the remastered versions of each worked just fine. It's the multiplayer that didn't quite work, and I think still doesn't quite work. So
still.
Yeah. I'll pick it up because they continually keep adding more chapters to it. I mean, they've added ODST to it, and I think they're going to be adding Reach.
If they add Reach, that'll pretty much give me every reason I needed to pick it up. Because that would actually be a complete Halo collection up to this point.
Yeah, which I think is what they're going for. So,
there's hoping.
Yeah, and it's probably going to be Halo 5 will probably be one of the first DirectX 12 games. I'm pretty sure it will be at given that time frame.
Yeah,
Forza 6 will probably be the other.
Yeah, it's going to make for a pretty strong E3.
Yep. I do want to see more of Forza 6. So.
Yeah. Mm. Well, usually that series, you don't really see a whole lot of the game until about a week before it comes out.
Yeah.
And then you just get bombarded with promotional videos, and then you play the game, and then you find out what it actually looks like.
Yeah, well, it's usually, you know, the GameSpot or IGN state demos of the game. I mean, they usually show a little sliver of it there. But,
yeah.
They usually try to keep it close to the hip, I guess.
Yeah. So, this next one.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you're going to have to summarize this one, because I will get angry.
Okay, so over in the UK, there's the Nantwich Education Partnership, and I probably completely butchered the name there. Send out a letter basically implying that parental consent for basically that parents allowing their kids to play games rated PEGI 18 plus, which is their version of an M rating from the ESRB, is tantamount to child neglect, and if they find out that parents are doing it, they're going to report them, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, there's just so much wrong with that, I don't even know where to start. But for, you know, the spirit of it, I can kind of understand where they're going. Because there are a lot of parents who just don't understand what their kids are playing. So in that sense, it kind of is sort of like child neglect, but yeah, you really got to stretch to get there.
You do. I'm all for educating parents about rating systems. Don't get me wrong. But when they get to the point where they're actually talking about reporting parents who allow their kids to play their games, and this doesn't even rule out that the parents may know full well what their kids are playing.
Yeah.
Like this, say. They could be playing Grand Theft Auto 5 and know completely well, and their parents could know completely well what is in the game. They consider that child neglect.
Yeah.
And they said, here's the exact quote. If your child is allowed to have inappropriate access to any game or associated product that is designated 18 plus, we are advised to contact the police and children's social care as this is deemed neglectful.
Yeah. So now they're deciding what's appropriate and what isn't?
Yeah.
Kind of taking the parents out of the loop entirely?
Clearly this isn't going to have any legs, but...
No.
But it will be the ongoing and persistent subject of immense ridicule that it deserves to be for quite some time.
Yeah. This is one school district trying to do something, and I don't think it's really going to catch on, but... It is,
and
kind
the word
of
is overreach.
Yeah, kind of overreach.
Gross overreach.
Yeah, I really do wish Teresa had been here today, because I'm pretty sure from the conversations I've seen on Facebook, she would have gone off on this.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe we can revisit it next week.
Yeah.
Yeah,
from one weird thing to something... Also, not so great.
Unfortunate.
Yeah.
Longtime Mortal Kombat producer Sean Hamrick was just basically talking with some Mortal Kombat fans about the subject of characters that are going to be in Mortal Kombat 10 came up.
Yeah.
And... things got out of hand. Somebody made a threat toward basically his wife, and demanding a character be included in the game. And that was just, he's been in these kind of discussions before, but. Something like that just upped the ante, and I can't blame him in the slightest, and so he's backing off of social media, and looks like at this point he has not resurfaced, so...
Yeah, it was one dude who said something he shouldn't have, and,
And fucked the whole thing up.
Yeah, that's usually how stuff happens on the internet. So, yeah, it's kind of sad, but, you know, Mortal Kombat 10 will go on, even if he's not on Twitter to talk about it.
Yeah, it's still just a shame that this kind of thing is, you know.
Yeah, some part of me thinks it might have been a little bit of an overreaction, because it was just one dude. It wasn't like he was being bombarded by, you know, just nasty tweets with just one guy.
So yeah.
Part of me wonders if he wasn't just looking for an excuse to get off there anyway.
That could be.
Yeah. Stuff happens. And speaking of stuff happening.
At the same time, you'd think people would know better.
Yeah, but one thing that I've learned from being on the internet for years and years is it takes a long time for people to wise up to things.
Yeah. And in a lot of cases, we're still waiting.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah. Online.
You're going to have to take the lead on this one because I'm still trying to sort out exactly what's going on here.
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, OnLive went out of business. But they were bought by another company and then turned into OL2 Holdings. So their service was never went down or anything like that. They just changed hands. And from that point, everybody pretty much thought OnLive was, you know, defunct and not in operations, when in fact they were still running and still coming up with new services.
Because everyone saw the big headline that they went out of business and not the little side note that they got bailed out at the last minute.
Yeah. So, but now it's official. On April 30th, they're shutting down for good. Sony has come in and bought a bunch of their assets and patents. So, it's in case Nvidia wants to sue them, they have something to fall back on. Yes. That's how the American legal system works.
Yeah.
So, yeah, apparently the perception of being dead is a kind of a problem for them, but that was actually only one of their problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. The problem was it wasn't really a very good experience overall. I've tested it out several times over the years, and though it had gotten better, I mean, it was pretty bad. I was playing Defense Grid, and it just felt like I was playing through Jell-O. That's how, you know, laggy the interface was.
Yeah.
And I've got a pretty good connection here, so it wasn't that. It's just, I don't think their solution was half-baked. Was fully baked, rather. It was half-baked. So they're gone now. Well, at least will be.
And inevitably there will be some kind of extension to PlayStation Now that includes whatever they bought from them.
Yeah, well, it's possible. They just bought technology just to have it. It means that if you've bought games via OnLive, you're kind of shit out of luck. Those are going to go away.
Completely.
Completely, unless you happen to buy a game that you could transfer to Steam, then those will transfer over. So for the four people that did that, then you're okay.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because if you're... if you've got Steam and a computer that can run the games in question, you weren't playing them on OnLive.
Yeah. Yeah. So OnLive was really a niche of a niche, and you know, that's why they branched out with OnLive Desktop, so that you can run a virtualized Windows desktop in the cloud, and why they earlier this year tried to branch off to a virtualized version of Second Life, but none of that really matters when everybody thinks you're dead to begin with. So
yeah.
So that happened. I think
in that light, it's sort of like just the whole situation resolving itself.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't really know how I feel about this, because you know, I kind of like the concept of cloud gaming. You know, and PlayStation Now has kind of shown me that it can be done well. So.
I still haven't tried out the subscription version of PlayStation Now.
Yeah.
That might be something for me to look into, but...
Yeah. I think this is the market just, you know, resolving itself.
Yeah. So, following up on the Zelda Game Jam story we did last week. This one kind of escalated quickly as well. A fan made a browser-based version of the first level of Super Mario 64. Built it in Unity, looked fantastic, played fantastic, wasn't completely perfect, but he got the engine ported off really well, and it probably could have been the foundation of some interesting indie development.
Yeah. But no.
It's just one problem.
Yeah, Nintendo, no. No, not doing that.
Yep. They sent if you go there now, you'll just find Nintendo's cease and desist order, and you know, this is how they do things. And so we were talking last week about how Nintendo is really not friendly to these kinds of fan projects. In a way, it was kind of nice of them to give us a working example of exactly what we were talking about so promptly.
Yeah.
But it's a shame because this was really well put together, and I was impressed with what I saw from it.
Yeah. You know, and he's just a computer science student, you know, showing off what he could do. Wasn't trying to screw Nintendo in any way, but because it had, you know, because it was Super Mario 64.
And it really was, too. I mean, he ported the engine, he ported the level. It was a really great reproduction.
Yeah. So, Nintendo's basically saying, no, our IP is sacred. You cannot do anything with it. We really don't value our community in the slightest.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what they said with that that legal statement. And that's not just the cease and desist letter. There was an update on the Polygon story if you scroll down to the bottom, which basically was just, you know, a two-line snub.
Yeah. And don't forget to buy Splatoon.
Yeah. Which kind of leads us into this next story. Angry Joe is done with Nintendo.
Yeah. It was a pretty epic rant that he posted. Not sure if it's really going to interrupt the whole groundswell that Nintendo's claiming of people trying to, or still trying to get in on this partnership program, but it's nice to see more prominent resistance to the whole idea.
Yeah, well, it's showing that, you know, you can only push fans so far before they start rebelling against you.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm pretty much at that point now myself.
Yeah.
Where I don't feel like Nintendo really gives a crap about what anybody, you know, wants.
Yeah.
They put out the products that they put out. Feedback be damned. And that was kind of the problem with Smash Brothers, because it was the exact opposite. The development of that game was pretty much the exact opposite.
Yeah. To the point that it to the point that it almost sent Sakurai to therapy.
Yeah. So in some ways, I can kind of see where, you know, the justification for it. But really, the Angry Joe was having fun with four friends with Mario Party, streaming it on Twitch. Where's
and
the
it
harm
was
in
good
that?
Publicity for a game that really needs it.
Yeah, because the reviews are not good right now.
Yeah, everyone feel free to head over to smashpad.com and see what Danrib thought of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I don't know, I think Nintendo really values their IP so much. They're holding on to it with just such an iron grip that it's driving people away.
Well, it's almost like shades of the old 80s Nintendo, where they thought their shit didn't stink. And just felt like they ruled everything.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, the whole YouTube partnership deal, they probably think they're being more than equitable. that's the sad part. They probably think that this is a huge community outreach program that, you know.
Yeah.
And they seem to be getting the response from some people. Obviously not your not your biggest names on YouTube, but probably the probably your second string types that just see an opportunity to make a name for themselves where the biggest YouTube gaming celebrities are just saying no.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the problem is, even if they, you know, do go along with Nintendo's partnership program, if they don't really get the views, they're not really going to be making yeah. much.
And only time will tell how that's going to play out.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think Nintendo's really lost the plot here.
Yeah.
They absolutely need somebody, you know, who's savvy about how things work nowadays, because they certainly don't work this way.
And here's the thing. I don't think this is coming from the top level.
You don't?
I don't think this is coming from Iwata. I don't think it's coming from Reggie. This just... It stinks of some go-getter over in the legal department who has too much autonomy for his own good. That's just kind of what I'm sniffing out here. It's almost completely baseless, but I think we know enough about the faces and names at Nintendo to know that they wouldn't be that stupid.
Well, one could hope.
Yeah, well, I've been disappointed before. This seems more like somebody who's out of touch with the entire situation and has a lot of power. You know what I mean?
Yeah, could be. I mean, maybe their legal department is a little bit overzealous.
Yeah.
Honestly, regardless, it's the situation that we're in.
They got to fix it.
Yeah.
No question. But, yeah, it's just something that's kind of lingered in the back of my mind for the last little while about all these, from the YouTube partnership program to the cease and desist that they hand out like candy.
Yeah.
It doesn't really seem consistent with the messaging we always get from their suits.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's just my take.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure it's like this situation will get resolved one way or the other.
Oh yeah. And probably in relatively short order.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's going to be some pretty spectacular reactions to this. I mean, PewDiePie isn't bothering with Nintendo anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, that was kind of the thing that made me wonder if the YouTube backlash is going to amount to a whole lot, because, like, when the whole thing first came down, he stood up and he was ready to lead the charge against it, and then it seemed like people weren't rallying behind him.
Yeah, well, I think like this is not something that you can charge against.
Yeah.
It's just kind of one of those things that has to come to a slow burn.
You have to let it fizzle out.
Yeah. So, that's where we are. So, Nintendo also had a Nintendo Direct to tell us where they're going.
Now, this is where we're getting into some pretty positive stuff, because if there's one thing they know how to do, they know how to stir up hype with a Nintendo Direct. They're pretty much little E3s at this point.
Yeah.
One of the big surprises this time around seems to be that Splatoon... I, for one, thought that when Zelda got delayed into 2016 or worse, Splatoon was going to be kind of the chosen one, the game that was going to carry the holiday season in place of Zelda. That's not going to happen. It's coming out at the end of next month on May 29th.
Yeah, they reiterated the release date this time around. So, I honestly thought Splatoon would have been pushed to holiday so that they would have had something to go up against the other big two. But no,
maybe that'll be Star Fox.
Yeah, it's looking like Star Fox would have to be it. Otherwise, they're going to go into the holiday season with very little.
Yeah. And if you think about it, the delay on Zelda, based on the timetable they've given us, gives them more time to make Star Fox that much of a better game.
Yeah.
So they, and it's Miyamoto's personal project, so he might be coming out all guns blazing on this one.
Yeah. Personally, though, I think Zelda on Wii U is never going to happen.
Really?
Yeah.
You think this delay pretty much boots it over to NX?
Yeah, I think it's going to get it pushed and pushed again. And instead of being, you know, a late Wii U title, it will be an NX launch.
Or it could be both, like Twilight Princess.
Yeah, if they've got the resources to put behind it, I could see that happening.
Yeah.
But honestly, I don't think...
You don't think they'll bother?
No, I don't think they'll bother.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. At the moment, we know it's still being developed for the Wii U.
Yeah.
Whether it stays that way, I can't tell, but...
Yeah, and apparently the Muse struck Aonuma like nobody's business.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, which makes me wonder what he saw.
Yeah, his announcement was not a please understand.
No.
It was, holy fucking shit, this is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Like, you could tell he was excited.
Yeah.
So, and that makes me excited because I was already looking forward to the game, and now, you know, I'm hoping that there's like a limited edition that comes with a making of disc.
Yeah.
Because I want the whole story on this.
Yeah.
Once the game is out, I want to see what they were building, what Aonuma saw while playing the whatever build he was playing that made him want to go straight back to the drawing board. And yeah, this has the potential to be one of the most interesting development stories in the history of the franchise.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that we get full disclosure on it once the game's finally out.
Yeah.
Even if that does take two more years.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure if this does end up as a Wii U title, or a last, you know, last leg Wii U title, as it were, we'll probably also see a special edition Wii, maybe a nice gold Wii U to go along with it.
And that would be a great way to sell one last burst of consoles.
Yeah. Yeah. Either way, we're not getting it this year. Star Fox is going to have to cover it.
Yep. Mm. Not that I have my doubts that it'll be able to.
Yeah. But. I mean, you know, Star Fox has pretty much been the reason I haven't bought a Wii U. So if they take away that reason, well, we'll be getting more
personal
letter. Yeah. So we have some more DLC coming for Smash Bros.
Yeah, more than well, I don't want to say more than we expected, because I've been saying from the beginning that there's a lot more room left on that select screen. But Mewtwo is coming to Smash in April. Will be purchasable for those who didn't get in on the registration special that they had going.
Yeah, which is smart, because you don't want to limit your characters.
Yeah. In addition to that, we've got Lucas coming back to the game in June.
Mm-hmm.
And they've opened a fighter ballot for requests. I've been looking around Facebook and Tumblr for, you know, pretty regularly, as I am wont to do. And some people are just kind of trolling them on the ballot, but there are some good ones. And I'm personally wanting to just stuff the ballot box to get Tharia from Fire Emblem Awakening in there. Because she would completely obliterate the perception that the current Fire Emblem lineup of characters gives people who don't play those games of the series. Mm-hmm. And despite being a Fire Emblem character, she doesn't carry a fucking sword.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to mention she's like the best character in the game, but
yeah. People have also been suggesting, like, you know, Bayonetta or Banjo, and which led to an interesting side story from
And how did we not put this on the list?
Yeah, how did we screw this that up?
We knew about it.
Yeah.
So Phil Spencer has come right out and admitted straight up there would be absolutely no problem working with Nintendo to put Banjo in Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants Banjo in the game, the ballot's open, and Phil Spencer says we've worked with Nintendo on Rare IPs in the past, and there's been absolutely no problems. So that's on the table. On the subject of Bayonetta, I was actually kind of surprised that she wasn't in the initial lineup for Smash this time around.
Yeah.
But, now's the chance to fix that.
Yeah.
Another one I wouldn't be surprised to see get a groundswell of support would be Beck, Mighty Number 9.
Okay.
I think that would be a really good fit. Mm. And Inafune, of course, has lots of fans out there that are probably already lobbying for that edition.
Yeah.
But once again, my support has to go for Tharia, just to mix up the Fire Emblem selection a little bit and to introduce the character to so many people who aren't ready for her.
Yeah.
Plus, it'd just be really interesting to see what kind of play style they would give her in a game like Smash.
Yeah.
So, yeah, head over to smashbrothers.com, I believe it is, or Smash Bros, to be specific, .com.
Yep.
And the fighter ballot should be up there.
Yeah, cast your vote. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll see what happens. Hopefully it really mixes up the character selection. I want to see some obscure shit here.
Yeah.
Not just a couple of protagonists from Nintendo franchises that haven't been covered yet.
Yeah. Let's see Master Higgins in there.
There you go.
I don't know what he'd do other than throw boomerangs at people, but hey.
Well, you could go for there's an idea. There is a Wonder Boy sequel coming out soon.
Yeah, Monster Boy.
Yep.
Probably.
That would have some real potential too.
Yeah.
There are a lot of ways they could go with that.
Yeah. It's interesting that they're even doing a fan ballot though, so there's that. It's like one hand not talking to the other.
Yeah. And I'm hoping I'm hoping they're not just doing it over here.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure if you check the Japanese fan ballot, you might see a lot of Kamen Rider Drive.
Mm.
Would be an interesting character for them to add if they could make it work with Toei and Bandai.
Yeah.
But I don't think that would be a huge issue.
No.
And
I'm pretty sure Toei and Bandai wouldn't say no to money. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. With the fan ballots open, it really, I mean, there is a world of possibilities out there. I'm excited to see what they come up with regardless, to be honest.
Yeah, let's fill out that select screen even more.
Yeah.
There's still empty space. I mean, we got to gotta fill it up there somehow.
Yeah, let's not have any more blank spots on there.
Yeah.
Another great item that was on the Nintendo Direct. Wii U Virtual Console, not really growing at the same rate as the Wii Virtual Console, but they are adding two more systems to it. Well, actually, they have added two more systems to it. They're up right now. N64 and Nintendo DS. The DS is huge. The ability to play DS games on a Wii U is something that I've always felt they've needed, and it was the first thing I thought of when I saw that controller.
Yeah.
We need that card adapter, though, because some of the best... I would be very surprised if the games that I have in mind for benefiting the most from being playable on the Wii U, I'd be surprised if a lot of those ever even made it to the Virtual Console. Shin Megami Tensei, Devil Survivor, Radiant Historia, stuff like that. I just worry that that we're never going to see those on there.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure we'll see all the big ones. You know, the DS versions of Mario, Tetris, all those will probably make it there. Pretty sure the Castlevanias for the DS to show up on there too.
That'd be nice. Oh hell. So many subtitles, I can't remember the one I'm even trying to.
Yeah.
Order of Ecclesia.
Yeah.
That one needs to go on there.
Yeah.
Another thing, N64 actually gets full button mapping.
Yeah, that's kind of needed though.
Yeah, it's reminiscent of the new PlayStation update that allows for the same thing. This might be a slowly growing trend on the console side of things that's been really a long time coming.
Yeah, being able to, you know, map your buttons to where you actually want them to be is it's this stupid little feature that makes things a lot better for most people.
And Neo Geo on the Wii Virtual Console really needs it.
Yeah. Well, I don't see that getting an update anytime soon.
Yeah. to some degree, it is nice just to be able to play those games on the Wii, but
yeah,
just whoever decided what the button layout should be needs slapped.
Yeah. It's like,
you know, with a pipe wrench.
Yeah.
One of my favorite moments of the Nintendo Direct was the first actual appearance of Shin Megami Tensei Cross Fire Emblem. Probably one of the best suck it haters moments in the history of ever.
Okay.
Just, you know, ever since the infamous Please Understand Nintendo Direct where Iwata announced it and not much else.
Yeah.
We haven't heard anything about it, save for the occasional insistence that it still exists. Obviously, pessimism kind of took root in the fan base and in the media. And so you get to this Nintendo Direct this week, and we finally get a full trailer. And among fans of the two franchises, it was pretty divisive. I thought it was fantastic. I can't wait to buy this game to play it and hopefully to find out more about it at E3 because this is something that they're putting a lot of effort into, clearly. And even if Shin Megami Tensei fans are saying that it's not Shin Megami Tensei enough, you got Fire Emblem fans saying that it's not Fire Emblem enough, but... You know, it just looks like a really good JRPG, and I'm, you know, it looks like something that that Idea Factory or Compile Heart might make, which is probably what rubs the aforementioned fan bases the wrong way.
Yeah,
but this is the kind of game that the Wii U needs.
Yeah, makes me wonder if it can hold the holiday though.
Yeah. Well, they didn't commit to a release date for it.
Yeah.
This was just a reminder that it exists, and here's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Also worth mentioning is the Japanese name has been changed to Genei Bunroku Fire Emblem. That when you translate that up, it would pretty much be consistent with Revelations Fire Emblem. As some people might remember, we got Revelations Persona over here.
Yeah.
And so that might be a more precise frame of reference for what kind of Shin Megami Tensei game this is supposed to be. And at least for me, that's reason enough to be excited.
Yeah.
So looking forward to that. That's definitely pretty high up my E3 hype list at this point.
It's good that it's, you know, still a thing and it hasn't dropped.
They haven't forgotten about it. Yeah. It looks fantastic. Crom looks pissed. Can't wait to find out why.
Yeah. And then we got more Fire Emblem news, too.
Yes. Hasn't got a name over here yet. In Japan, it's still called Fire Emblem If. They seem to be doing a weird Pokemon thing with it in Japan, where basically it's a story of two countries, Hoshido and Nor. And instead of doing the Knights of the Old Republic thing where you pick a side at a certain time in the game, you pick a side at the retail counter. Because there's the Hoshido version and the Nor version of the game. And it gets better. The DLC or the digital version of the game, it is just standard, but you pick the side when you start playing and it locks that in. Alternately, there's a limited edition that comes with both scenarios and a third DLC scenario that will be available to both versions later on. I don't want to say an exorbitant price, but
pushing the boundaries.
It gave me a little bit of a kidney spasm.
Ooh.
So, at least what I don't know, they get away with steeper prices in Japan than they do here. So I don't know what they've got planned over here. I'm hoping that they're just going to do the Knights of the Old Republic thing in the North American release. And I don't really think they can get away with anything else.
Well, I don't know. I mean, people are pretty happy here to pay for two copies of Pokemon, so...
Yeah.
You know, it might be something that they go for, but that's not really... Yeah,
they haven't said anything about it, and I'm hoping that silence is telling.
Yeah.
In Japan, they've been quite open about their plans. I mean, they've laid it all out.
Yeah.
Over here, we don't even have the name of the game yet, let alone... whatever they've got planned for its rollout.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. There's with them not even talking about a release date yet, at least I didn't catch one. There's still plenty of time, and I'm sure more answers will come at
E3. Yep. Yeah, it does look like another solid 3DS. So.
It really does. Mm-hmm. Well, the game that preceded it, Fire Emblem Awakening, was... I mean, obviously, it was way up my game of the year list back in, well, was it just last? No, yeah. It was, yeah, it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was 2013.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's gone by fast. But it was way up my game of the year list. Yep. And honestly, I just think that Intelligent Systems has the entire formula figured out. And so I'm really hoping that Fire Emblem, if, you know, whatever form it might take over here, gets out this year, because I want to devour it already. I'm about to start a new playthrough of Fire Emblem Awakening just to tide myself over. But yeah, this is going to be good stuff.
Yeah.
And then last thing that we got out of this that was kind of noteworthy is a rare instance of a game, or well, DLC in this case, coming out sooner than planned. The back half of the Mario Kart 8 season pass is no longer slated for May. It's coming out on April 23rd with a nice little other goodie that's actually going to be free. That's the 200cc class, which is unprecedented in any past Mario Kart game.
Yeah,
probably with good
those
reason.
Have typically been, you know, I think the 150 was typically
150.
Been the highest.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're adding another 50cc to that.
It looks absolutely bonkers. I can't wait to play it. They didn't show what courses were going to be in the back half of the season pass, just the one Animal Crossing course.
Yeah.
But they didn't say anything about the other seven. I'm looking forward to that.
I could see them just turning 200cc mode on for whatever course you want to play it on.
Yeah. Well, that's what it'll let you do. 200cc is available on everything, which also means a whole other mess of stars to collect.
Yeah.
Which is going to consume me.
Yeah.
And once it drops, I'll guarantee you right now that it will be the background video of the April 26th edition of the Day Zero update.
No, it won't.
Oh?
Not if we want to keep monetizing it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Nintendo.
Oh, yep. Fuck you, Nintendo.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
We're not doing it. It's nice to think about, and I will be playing the shit out of it.
Yeah.
That'll have to be good enough.
They pulled it in a couple of weeks, and it wasn't scheduled for far into May, so they just brought it up a couple of weeks.
Yeah. I guess they just had the courses wrapped up ahead of schedule.
Yeah, it's like it's done. Why sit on it?
Yeah. Iwata seemed to imply in the Nintendo Direct that the idea behind it is just that there wasn't enough braking going on, even at 150cc compared to... I guess how they'd had the game design planned out, which does kind of make sense. And I can pretty safely assume that the move to 200cc will solve that problem.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. It's like, I'm pretty sure a lot of people didn't even realize that there was a brake button in Mario Kart.
Yeah, and now they're going straight from that to fear as a healthy emotion.
Yeah.
And so yeah. I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be... that's going to be a lot of fun, and it'll be fun to revisit the courses we already have and see what those are like on speed.
Yeah, I would have actually gone even further. I would have gone straight to 500cc.
Yeah, just go F-Zero on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be fun. Maybe I got to admit that.
Maybe implement some sort of physics where if you crash your rider... cart driver goes flying off the out of the cart and
just get the ragdoll physics in there.
Yeah, just get that going. Yeah. Turn it into flat out.
Oh man.
I miss that series.
Well, didn't they just make a new one on, well, not really recently, but somewhat recently?
Well, there's Flat Out 3, but we won't speak of that because it's a different developer and a completely different game.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a completely different game. Bugbear, on the other hand, has been working on their next car game, which is called...
That's the name.
That's the name of it, which is coming along pretty nicely. So if you want
that's good.
You know, actual flat-out type game, that's it. Which also means that they're not working on Ridge Racer games anymore. Thank God.
Yeah, that...
That didn't go well.
Yeah, I'm just going to use the words failed experiment and leave it at that.
Yeah.
And I keep checking Steam because I remember that the original Exceed promo said made that ease pun about Easter.
Easter.
Yeah. Yeah,
something is coming soon.
Yeah, I just keep hoping that I'll reload the front page of Steam and have Ease 6 sitting there for me to purchase.
Yeah, it probably might not end up on the front page quite yet because I don't think anybody's at Valve right now.
That's a good point.
So you might just check the...
It might have been queued.
Yeah, queued, yeah. Now, speaking of Steam, another kind of a side tangent. If you own Dirt 3 on Steam, the Steamworks patch has finally come out. And Codemasters really did us a solid with this patch because they also upgraded everybody who had the original Steam version with Games for Windows Live to the complete version with all the DLC.
Oh, I do see Dirt 3 Complete Edition sitting there on my games list.
Yeah, if you've not played Dirt 3, it's freaking fantastic.
Yeah, I have not, and I wouldn't have even noticed that sitting there if you hadn't said something.
Yeah, they just kind of quietly rolled that out, and it's like
it's the nature of Steam. Sometimes you're just issued stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I've got stuff in my Steam library. I have no idea how it got there.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a few things here that I think I got when I bought this one THQ pack during a really good sale.
Yeah.
For Darksiders, and then never played Darksiders, but have all these other games that I...
Yeah, Titan Quest and the Immortal Throne. Those are two great games if you like action RPGs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you like to mod the crap out of them, then those are good platforms too.
Yeah. Mm. Like I've got Homefront sitting there, and that's like the furthest thing from what I usually play.
Yeah.
But I own it.
Somehow.
Yeah, I got it was part of that THQ pack.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, Darkspider's pretty good, though. Check that out at some point.
Company of Heroes, I have no idea how the fuck I got.
Yeah, it probably came with that THQ pack also, because I remember buying that as well. Mm. I ended up getting
Well, that was THQ?
Yep. That was THQ.
What the hell am I thinking of?
And then Company of Heroes moved on to Sega.
That Sega's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, they did the first Company of Heroes. Well, yeah, THQ published the first Company of Heroes and its expansion. And yeah. Then they folded, and then Sega got the sequel.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh.
So it was part of that whole fire sale.
Yeah. You sound like you're about to pass out.
I'm just running out of caffeine. I'm fine.
Okay, well, we'll bring up the question of the week this week. And
this one's kind of a rhetorical question.
Yeah, should Nintendo let go of their heavy-handed IP policies?
And this goes for both the YouTube stuff and for the cease and desist shit that they're sending out to indie developers.
Yeah. Yeah, part of me actually really wants Nintendo to put the kibosh on that Zelda Game Jam for the monumental backlash that there will be because of
yeah.
that.
So basically you want them to set fire to the gas can and just get this whole thing over with.
Yeah, just go ahead and say that yes, don't do that. We are sexist pigs and that Link must be a man. That's pretty much what putting the kibosh on it would end up saying.
Yeah. Like, even if the intention behind it is just that they're doing the same thing they always do with their IPs, yeah. There's going to be so much other subtext going on with it that they won't be able to squirm out of.
Yeah, I mean, the gas can is sitting there, the rag is stuffed into it, all they need to do is just light it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they will.
Yeah. Sadly, I think they really will.
Anyway. Just inevitably.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's a show for this week.
It is. Mm-hmm. It was a quick show with only two of us here and kind of a quiet week, relatively speaking.
Yeah, if it keeps up like this, next week we might actually forego stories and actually do one of our themed shows.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll
see we've
how
got some of those.
Yeah. So, yeah, so, that's calling it a week. As for me, I'm Filippo D'Onofrio.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
Update complete.